for Pedal to the Metal. I'll be playing the best in metal from around the world. There's hardcore. Disrespect your surroundings! Some black metal. Death metal. And even some experimental stuff too. So that's Pedal to the Metal with your host, the Madman Murdoch, on Tuesdays from 4 until 6 p.m. on the only station making waves, WHFR, Dearborn.
The 18th Annual Homelessness Marathon Broadcast, a national town hall discussion on poverty and homelessness in America.
I think it would be pretty startling for the majority of the public to know that within about two blocks from the White House itself, there are homeless people sleeping in parks.
This year, we'll be live from the streets of Washington, D.C. That's the Homelessness Marathon Broadcast, coming to you soon and heard right here
on WHFR Dearborn, beginning at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, February 17th, running until 9 a.m. Thursday, February 18th.
A very important key in keeping a healthy lifestyle is fitness. Why not condition yourself as well as your mind here at Henry Ford College? The Health and Physical Education curriculum offers both a two-year Associate's in Applied Science as well as a certificate program, both offering a wide variety of courses including exercise physiology, nutrition, and physical conditioning. For more information, you can call 313-845-6318 or on the web at hfcc.edu/programs.
They'll challenge your authority, because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, and in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner. And your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
This is WHFR Dearborn. You are listening to The Magic of Radio.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Barbara White. She is a gifted intuitive, life coach, inspirational speaker, and author. Good afternoon, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing amazing.
Really?
Celebrating each breath I take. Thank you for having me on the show, Mike.
Well, thank you for being here and doing the show. Of course, we're doing this over the phone, but again, thank you for deciding to do this. I do appreciate it. I think this is, I don't know, your third or fourth time on the show, but who's counting? But I do appreciate the fact you're on this month. Now, to get us started, what is it that you do? I know you have your mission, Accepted as I Am. Can you give us a brief description of that?
Sure. So, my official title of what I do is, or the technical title would be a transpersonal therapist or transpersonal type work, which means I help people to, the simple term is help people to love themselves The longer definition would be that it's moving from a limited understanding of self to an unlimited definition of self. And I do that through one-on-one sessions. I do that through retreats. And I also speak about the topic of a deeper connection to self, a deeper connection to life, and really from that deeper self-love and connection, coming into greater expression of our gifts on the planet so that we can really affect change happening in this really intense and tragic times that are happening on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Now, when people come to you, what is it they're really seeking? Is it to love themselves? I mean, to learn how to love themselves and therefore to love others? Is that how it works?
I think it's with people that are coming to see me, or any time they're seeking self-improvement, or whether they're going to a therapist or a psychic, they're really seeking to find their own individual calling, to find that part of themselves that they feel is missing. And ultimately, it's not missing. So it's somebody feels, whether it's pain or illness or maybe a personal issue that motivates somebody to begin to seek for that part of themselves they feel is missing, or it's they just begin to hear that calling that there's something more to life, there's something more that wants to express through them, there's something more that wants to come forward, and that when they can give that part of themselves permission, or they that's where real happiness is found. So to circle back to your question of why someone would come to see someone like me is because they're either motivated by pain or they're motivated by hearing there's something more that wants to come through them. And knowing that we're here on this planet in relationship, that when we let ourselves receive help or receive guidance, that that's a sign of strength, not weakness. So when we, just like you would hire a lawyer to do law, you would hire someone like me to bring your gifts forward on the planet and to find that broader understanding of self.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get started doing this?
Sure. Well, kind of still staying with the theme of what I'm talking about it was a calling. It was a feeling that there's something more that wants to express. Initially, it was in my early 20s, and I felt like I was going to go into medical school, or I was going to go and maybe even the Marine Corps, or maybe,
oh, really?
I don't know, I was like, I don't know. No, that was in my, like, 19, 20. And
okay.
Then I was still young and insecure and angry, and I met Dr. Scheer. And Dr. Scheer was my first teacher, and I had the impulse to do something more. I had the impulse to serve. I just didn't know what. And the gift that Dr. Scheer offered is he not only showed me that God is love, but God is love, that everything is love. And it healed for me many years of religious anger and just general pissosity when I met Dr. Scheer. And he let me train in his, or intern in his, the first holistic hospital in Columbus, Ohio, down in Columbus. And then about 3 years after that, I started in natural health school. It was my original training was in natural health. And my first teacher, who was my hero and my mentor, he was a fundamentalist, and he said that I was going to hell.
Hmm.
And so I was like 20 at the time, and I believed him. And so for about a year, year and a half, even though I could feel God and feel the angel saying, Barbara, you are loved, no one's going to hell, I had paradigm blindness. You know, my beliefs that what my hero and mentor were saying was more true than my experience. And so in that paradigm blindness for about a year, year and a half, I was in what is classically called the dark night of the soul. And then about a year, year and a half after that, I yielded and surrendered to love, to God, and to really realizing that all pain on the planet, pain in my heart, because it starts with ourselves, right? Compassion begins at home. I realized all that pain within me was love, was a part of God, and it wasn't bad, it wasn't evil. And then I was able to look out into the world and see that all the suffering was, all the pain, all the things we'd call evil was just suffering, and really see the harmony in the suffering, but at the same time really welcome my desire to relieve that suffering. And that was sometime around 23 or so, and that's when everything began. So people just started showing up for sessions, and people started having spontaneous shifts and healings, and it scared the out of me. And I didn't know what was happening. You know, I went into the ego mind and said, oh, am I special, or am I this or that, or, you know, what is this? And really, in efforts to understand it, I asked this question of why self-acceptance was so powerful, and that began, like, my research question. And so I did field research in my sessions of really trying to understand why these spontaneous shifts were happening. And I realized, again, it's just that simple but powerful process of when we accept our humanity, we realize something greater. We realize that our humanity and divinity are not separate. And then I also began to see that everyone who went through this process of self-love, of being able to love their dark spots or love the perceived unlovabilities, became tuning forks to others. So I started having, after a few years into it, I started having my clients say, yeah, people are just starting to shift around me and tell me their life story and tell me all about them and have these shifts, these healings in their life. So it's really, and that was about 15 years ago. So it's been an incredible journey since then.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised when you first noticed this happening?
I think scared, because my conscious mind, you know, as a kid, my conscious mind didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I still had a lot of catching up to do still. I mean, even though I had that big opening, it was just the beginning. And so people would have these openings and these shifts in session, but I would still walk out and have that contrast of my humanity that would have a lot of fears and insecurities and not have the framework of how to keep on. And I was practicing what I was preaching, but again, it was a process of growth. And now, of course, it doesn't scare me. Now I understand that it's kind of like the way a cut fills in the cells, and how there's an order and harmony in that, and how our heart beats, and like it's a natural order, it's a natural process, and as in the thinking of the Course in Miracles, how miracles are every day, how miracles are not really miracles, they're just a perception shift, and it's beautiful and it's amazing, but in a lot of ways it's available to every single person, and it's not anything special in me. I'm not special. And that self-love and self-acceptance is broadly misunderstood. I mean, it's a lot of times people think it's narcissism, or they think it's buying themselves a new thing, or they think that maybe it's betraying their current understanding of God if they were really to give their full gifts and their full, whether their gift being writing poetry or having a radio show or parenting their children, whatever that gift is, they think that's somehow going to not be honoring God. But so yeah, it did originally scare me, to circle back to your question, and now it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, generally when people come to you, what do they ask of you? What is their concern? What is it they want to establish and perhaps correct in themselves?
I remember that first time when you asked that question to me, when we were, and it was the framing, and I'll give you the same response I gave you last time, which is the belief that somebody needs something corrected wouldn't be the way that I would flow in a session with person. And I guess, you know, now that it's been a couple of years later, I can give you, because since you and I have talked, I've gotten another master's in transpersonal therapy and eco-psychology, and I can really understand the difference between Freudian-based therapy and what I do, transpersonal. So Freudian-based therapy is going to really start from the premise that we're going to fix something, and that your beliefs, your pathologies, your patterns are who you are, and it's something to fix. Whereas from a transpersonal means beyond the personality, includes the personality, but it's beyond it. So the understanding that you're not broken, you don't need to be fixed, there's not something that needs to be conquered within you, that it's more about yielding, it's more about surrendering, it's more about opening to who and what you truly are. And the what is love, beauty, joy, prosperity, happiness, compassion. And the who is the unique expression of what that is, knowing that you have a unique expression, I have a unique expression. And so, again, what calls people to this work is really, I feel like that you're the person I'm supposed to work with. Or, you know, I really realize that I've in Freudian base, it's cognitive behavior. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not making that wrong. But it's kind of you got to get to know your stories. You got to get to know what your patterns are. There is a level of awareness where if you haven't stepped through the door and said, okay, what are my patterns? What are the ways that I get in my own way? There is a door to step through and self-awareness in that. But once you've stepped through that door, and I find that a lot of people have, like a lot of people know what their stories are, know how they sabotage themselves, know their patterns. They've gone to a traditional therapist, and they have it all classified. They have all the deck chairs on the Titanic in perfect rows. But they haven't really let go or yielded to their true self. And you know, if I was to try to give you a specific answer as possible, Mike, I would say it's frustration that brings somebody to me.
Okay.
It's complete frustration.
Mm-hmm. They're just fed up and they've got to do something about it, right?
Yeah, they're fed up because things that, self-improvement things that had, you know, change your life in 3 days or think positive just change this behavior. And those do work to a certain degree, but it doesn't bring that abiding peace and that sense of all is well, even if current conditions are not, because that way of thinking still bases how you feel on conditions, still bases on external things that are happening, whereas when you begin to yield to what is within you, that eternal self or that consciousness or that true self or that higher self or that soul, however you want to word it, whatever word makes you feel comfortable, it's all the same thing, or that energy within you, or the child of God within you. When you begin to let go to that, there really is no greater peace than that.
Mm-hmm. I just want to briefly take time out to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my special guest this month is Barbara White. She is a gifted intuitive, life coach, inspirational speaker, and author. Now, when you decided to write, what inspired you to do that? What was the reason you wanted to get the message out in book form and spread that out?
Ah, I love that question. Rock on, my friend.
Okay, well, I'm trying to.
Okay, so I already answered the first part of that, which is the first book, Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful, was because I was really asking that question, why is self-acceptance so powerful? And that book is a combination of 20,000 session hours. The rest of why do I write is why do I want to get the message out is because as a culture we have paradigm blindness, meaning the answer, the solution is right there in front of us, but we can't see it. And knowing that we can only see what we perceive, meaning how I perceive myself is how I'm going to see my world. And those self-perceptions are based on how I understood not only myself, my world, but what I defined, what made me worthy as a child. So when I talk about paradigm blindness, what I mean by that is, for instance, in Sweden, and this is firsthand knowledge, in Sweden, they have technology that can convert garbage to fuel. And they have converted their garbage to so much fuel that they're now buying garbage from China.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. So we have the solution to these problems, but we won't, because of our belief system, we won't let that in. Or, for example, and again, this is firsthand knowledge, so this isn't hearsay, I watched the Supreme Court videos with Dr. Hoxie about treating, you know, the big illness that the one that's billion-dollar industry, and I saw that they gave him four cases to heal, and one was where the cancer was literally eating out of his shoulder, was the person's shoulder. And at the point at when, so again, there's even there's even healing opportunities or solutions when it comes to serious, what we call serious illness. And so, you know, these things should be on the front of the they should be on the news like tomorrow. They should be, but they're not, because it's how we are viewing, if we're seeing ourselves as limited, if we're believing that, in a lack mentality, in a scarcity mentality, we're not going to be able to see these solutions that are right in front of us. And so to answer your question of why do I write and why do I talk, is because I have seen and I know that every time somebody begins to come into greater understanding of who they are, they move out of duality consciousness. And duality is that idea of thinking that they're separate from you, from others. That's a duality, is thinking that they're separate from life or love or God. And they move in more into a unity consciousness, which is where they realize that fundamental goodness within them, that fundamental love within them, that's within all beings. And they begin to let the scales of separation fall away, that not only does their body heal, but their family changes, their business changes. They become a beneficial presence to each other and to other people. And so knowing that when someone does that process, whether it be with me or many of the other amazing people that are doing incredible work on the planet, that this can really help shift the incredible tragedies that we have happening on the planet right now. There's so many. I mean, I don't need to mention them all, but that it's this kind of consciousness shift that, you know, it's that old prayer that says, bless them but change me, that when we do this inner work, it can really cause a shift, a vibrational change. It's so that's why I write. That's why I 25 years ago I gave my life over to this work.
Mm-hmm. Well, your new book is going to be called Finding the One. What can you tell us about this book?
Sure. So Finding the One was very much like Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful, that it was my own life was my teacher and my clients were my teacher. So 7 years ago, I left my partner of 20 years and a childhood friend, and I began being single and what that looked like. And I'd never dated. I'd never really experienced what that was like. And so here I was, very much a community leader and helping many to open healing centers and doing incredible work on the planet and facilitating a lot of good. But again, kind of back to like square one in a way, when this part of me. And so what Finding the One is about is really what is love? What is intimacy? What is, what at the time, asking questions like, why don't I have a libido? And why are men scared of me? And what is real conscious communication? And so what the book has is it has the spiritual teachings in there about realizing that any dream that we have, if it is a partner or it's money, if it's a certain amount of money or making a difference on the planet, whatever dream we have is about our own soul's becoming. And so when I realized that the partner that I was seeking was really about what do I need to become the match to that. And that, again, applies to any goal, that our goal is really about our soul, that the goal is about our soul's becoming. So it has those spiritual teachings in there, but it also has some funny dating stories, because I was really guided to go on a lot of dates and really see each date as, okay, almost like taking my own spiritual temperature and saying, okay, what's being mirrored back, knowing that I'm 100% responsible for my happiness. And no person or condition has the ability, unless I give it, to make me feel a certain way. So I got to see what was showing up. And it was, as with always, and not only in my sessions I see this, but it was in dating, that wherever I am in consciousness, it's going to be reflected back in my life. And so Finding the One has these spiritual teachings, but it also has funny dating stories, and then it has suggestions for application. So I'm excited about this book because it's got the inspirational spiritual teachings that my other books have, but it also has some quirky funniness and kind of like a spiritual Sex in the City.
Okay. So it's got episodes from your own life that also show what you were learning at the time and what you have done to progress in accepting yourself as you are and accepting others and finding the love in them as well as you. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it's I was at the women's event they did at Renaissance Unity. This last edit of the book about 5-6 months ago, I hadn't done it yet, and Jewel was on stage, the artist Jewel, and mm-hmm. she said something that just struck me in my heart. She said the moment that she stopped trying to use her art to be perfect and she let all her flaws seen is the moment that she took off. And it was such a that's what inspired me to put what I was, all the stories of what I had experienced, so that people could know that no one's different, that we're all in this boat together, we're all learning and growing, we're all doing the best we can, and that even with all our flaws, we can still make a difference in the planet. You know, we don't have to be perfect to express our gifts. That being gifted doesn't mean you're that everyone is gifted, and yet there's still also going to be flaws there, and that's what makes us beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then Ricky Byers Beckwith, who is a big teacher to me, and Ricky has been incredible inspiration in the last 7 years of just how authentic and real she is. She just she's got the Motown background and is a singer, songwriter, and spiritual teacher, and of course also the wife to Michael Beckwith, my other teacher, and so their example, Ricky Beckwith and Jewel, really caused me to bring that more authentic flavor to the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of your vision, according to your website, is as you grow and love yourself, you love the self and all others. Is this a process that you recognized when you're going through this dating situation?
I think,
or situations.
Yeah, I think it's humbly accepting the stories. So as you grow and love yourself, you love and accept others, and it's so. For instance, let's give some examples. So, going on a date and holding back who I am, and not really, because there's a misbelief that opening your heart is opening your heart to somebody else. And opening your heart really means bringing all parts of yourself forward. So when you love yourself, you can love the self within all others. What does that mean? That sounds fancy and absolute, but what does that mean in the everyday? It means going on a date and being really attracted to somebody and really hoping that they like you, and yet letting your humor, letting your joy, but also not trying to hide any what I perceive to be imperfections. And then noticing when I'm doing that, noticing the times and different dates where I would try to be what that man wanted me to be. I would dress a certain way. Like, for instance, I remember one time, you know, I was observing myself, and I mean, that's all we can do is observe ourselves and then be like, with a sense of curiosity, not trying to fix it, not trying to beat ourselves up, because the ego mind is suspicious at best and vicious at worst, meaning it's not about fixing these things, it's about observing with compassion, because what we accept really does change. What we judge or what we try to fix actually becomes more. What we judge, we become. And so knowing what we judge, we become, I'd watch, like, as with, I remember dated the surgeon, and I dressed really professional for that date. And then I dated a guy that was, you know, a musician, and I saw myself dating, dressing differently. And I remember after the date with the musician, I really got to see a part of me that was still not, was being a chameleon. And not really standing my ground and owning who I am and owning what I knew myself to be. And that split that happens, you know, it's something that I've seen since in the 7 years I've had thousands of sessions, of course, around these subjects, because whatever I'm learning at times, the universe or the God will bring that to me. So that split where we are one person with maybe our professional life and with are friends, but then in our romantic life, we're somebody different. And that's, of course, in our romantic life is where our crazy comes up. You know, our romantic life is where we may be a loving person the whole day to everyone we meet, but when we're with our partner, our wife, our husband, whatever, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, that's where that wounded piece comes up. And I think it's remembering that it's supposed to come up, that in romantic relationships, it's where the spiritual rubber meets the road. It's where we get to perfect our loving. And we can't do that. We can't do that if we don't realize that this crazy is meant to come up, that it's meant to come up to the surface so we can give it a big, juicy kiss and hug. And I think too often, and what I've, you know, not only in applying these principles to myself, but with my clients and seeing that they work, these all work, it's not just some airy-fairy dream, that when we can witness these parts of ourselves that are crazy and that manipulate to get love or think love is a trade agreement, or we, very common people, give up their identity to be in relationship, or the man will not feel safe to share his feelings, he'll kind of fall into just being the financial provider or believe that he's responsible for the woman's happiness, or of course the woman will then think that she'll also have other, and we can talk about that more, other trade agreements for love. And then, you know, and then coming out of that crazy, that love is not a trade agreement, that love is really the essence of who we are, and that when we can own that or claim that, we can give love to feel love as ourselves. And when we can express, and especially in romantic relationships, when we can express love from that place, giving love just to feel love as us, not with attachment, that's when a deeper, sweeter, orgasmic love is born that is beyond the kind of codependent, energetic, enmeshed, toxic relationship, kind of like two business owners running a business that most people call relationship.
Mm-hmm. So it's a business agreement. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a business agreement. Yeah, you kind do of, this for me, I'll do this for you, and as long as you keep on doing what you're doing, then you know.
Right. Well, a relationship is work. I mean, you have to, you know, meet people halfway sometimes, you know, to make things work. But I just want to also take time out to remind everybody that, once again, this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest is Barbara White. She is a gifted, intuitive life coach, inspirational speaker, and author. Now, getting back to what you were just saying, what struck me was that basically you're just trying to learn to be yourself with others and to feel comfortable around different people. Is that correct?
Well, isn't that if we feel free to be ourselves around all people, especially the ones closest to us, I think that's heaven on earth.
Yeah, okay. Well, that kind of gets us to the most recent article that you wrote for Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. And the title of the article is, Are You Ready to Truly Receive Love? And one of the things you say in that is, forgetting that love is the foundation of our being, we sacrifice eternity for rags. Did that come into play when you were dating or in some of your relationships that you went through?
It sure did. And it's, you know, I think about, so kind of tying back into what I said earlier, as well as drawing on some even more examples, is there's a belief in relationship that we have to give up ourselves, our true selves, to be in relationship. And there was a belief in me and in many women, I don't mean to be general, I'm sure men have this too, and it also has variances in transgender and bi and lesbian and gay community. So, I don't, but it, there is a belief that as a woman, that we can't own our space, our power, our gifts, and that sovereignty, that and that a lot of women will try to own that space or that sovereignty by taking the man's power, and they'll become, and that's not the kind of power that I'm talking about. That's a dominion power, and of course men will do the same thing. There'll be a dominant or submissive way of relating to each other. What I'm talking about is really being able to know that the thoughts, the opinions, the being within a person is valid and real and important, and not to even subtly sacrifice that integrity with one's own heart, and knowing that in bringing that full self forward, then you don't, because you are sacrificing eternity if you don't feel like you can be yourself in relationship. And don't make the mistake of thinking it's about them, because it's never about them. If no one has the keys to lock you into a prison of not being yourself. That is, those the prison and the keys are in within your own power. And so when a man or a woman realizes that they can be themselves and be loved, and that's huge, because in my experience of now, I don't know, 30,000 session hours with people, that is the journey of realizing I can, and first off, what is myself, you know? A lot of times we, of course, think we are our reputation or what we do for a living, or we think we are how much money's in our bank or whatever. All those false identifications, or we think that we're our stories, good or bad. And when we begin to understand that we can be ourselves and be loved, that's the process of relationship, that's the process of dating, that's the process of life.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's difficult for people at times just to be themselves and relax and just, like I said, be themselves and show the world who they really are? Many of us want to hide behind a mask or behind certain actions to convey something that may not really be us. Again, is that something that you have found to be true?
Well, I think that comes back to our core wounding, which is we come in all bright and shiny and pretty much nothing. We come in the fullness of our being, and not him, this is not about them or blame or shame, but it's understanding that if we didn't have emotionally present parents, that pretty much everyone has a wounded childhood. I mean, sometimes people who have the roof over their head and the clothes on their back but didn't have an emotionally present father, or their mother couldn't really open her heart because she hadn't opened her heart to herself, that we create this false self so that we can relate to the world. One of the big false selves that some people create is the believing that they have to rescue or fix another to be loved. And of course, that's the number one common relationship pattern too. So believing that they take on the suffering of their mom or dad so that they can connect with them. I had sessions about that today, of the realizing that they don't have to carry the pain or the suffering of their parents to connect with them. But that's a kind of a clever way that the childhood self tries to connect with. And then that, however we related to mom or dad, you know, this is psychology 101, that whenever we related to mom and dad, is how we're going, that's love to us, right? That's how we're going to relate to our loved one. And my joke is, you know, the first person you marry is going to be either mom or dad. You just got to figure out which one, maybe a combination of them both.
Right.
And when you can realize that, there is possibility for growth. And the second core wounding that happens is that if you did have a traumatic childhood, or you did have, there was things that were going on, that the childhood mind doesn't have logical thought. Some say to 7, and some say as late as 10. So what our ego mind does is says, well, this painful event that's happening, it must be my fault. And even that, though that makes no sense, I must be lacking, and this is why this is happening. And that's why a lot of people could probably relate to, you know, why do I blame myself when bad things happen? It has nothing to do with me. And why do I blame myself when somebody else is feeling bad? Why am I blaming myself? And so that comes from, again, we weren't given, our ego mind created a reason, which is there must be something wrong with me, and this is why it's happening. Because it doesn't know how to process that pain that was happening in childhood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's hard for people at times, isn't it, to kind of step away and see the situation as it really is. Like you said, they're looking at it from their own perspective. Now, how do you help people maybe take a step back and see the bigger picture and see that it may not be a case of where they are at fault.
Who's at fault?
Well, you know, I'm just saying a client, you know, how do you help them step back and examine a situation so they realize that it's not their fault? That
oh, it's
perhaps,
not their fault.
Yeah,
I
that they're,
they are at fault. So
oh, no,
I
no.
followed the first half of your question and the second, so thank you. So that's stepping back. So that's even now, if people are listening, they can be aware that there's a part of them that's aware that they have thoughts. And that part of us that's aware that they have thoughts, that we have thoughts, that the person that's listening right now, that's our observer self. That's our stepping back. Don Miguel Ruiz calls it, we stalk ourselves, you know, like we'd be able to stalk our own minds. But how I help people to come into self-awareness, that can be through teaching different principles of meditation. So it can be a teaching practice. It can also, a lot of it, honestly, Mike, is just a tuning fork, because sometimes I don't even say anything, and just through my own self-acceptance, people begin to shift. So that's probably the most honest answer I can give you. And that's, again, everybody's capable of that. But then when it comes to actually things I do, that would be like body awareness, so the felt sense, so that whatever we observe with compassionate, non-reactive, non-judgmental awareness, it shifts, it changes, or acceptance heals, acceptance transforms. So if we can observe even just the body, because the body is the subconscious, if we can, even right now, people that are listening, just observing the body's felt sense, that means hot, cold, tense, relaxed. And as you compassionately, non-reactively, non-judgmentally observe your body, that can cause you to step back. People can step back through a process that I use called duality releases, where we kind of jump to each side of the pool of the duality. So all the ways you love, and then all the ways you hate, and then all the ways, and so that could be a duality release, or all the ways you feel secure, and then all the ways you don't feel secure or insecure. And what happens with that is the duality, or the each side of it cancels each other out. Another way that can be used is a perceived protector work. It's a viewing our stories, our patterns. This is going to be actually in Finding the One. Viewing our stories, our limiting beliefs, our emotions, our patterns, SLEP, viewing it as a person and taking it through this creative process of giving it a big hug. And instead of analyzing, therapizing it, just really giving, really seeing what it needs, seeing it as a part of ourself that needs love. And so it's a creative process that I use called perceived protector work that helps people to step back and bring love to their perceived dark parts of themselves.
Mm-hmm. So when you do this, I mean, is this something that you can tap into and, again, help people see the problems that they're having in their relationships and perhaps what they should do to improve their relationships, or maybe go out and find that perfect mate or that mate that is most acceptable to them?
Well, I think we only have one relationship, and that's with ourselves. And mm-hmm. then everything else is added to that. And I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said for centuries, which is seek first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added on to you. So we have one relationship, and that's with ourselves. And then from there, the relationship that's in alignment with that will usually be right in front of us. It's not anything we have to go out looking for. That was definitely something I learned, that anytime you're actually looking for it or grasping for it, that tells you that you're not in alignment with it. And so when you come into alignment with your amazing, beautiful, yummy self, then that partner will be right there. And it's not anything that you have to make happen.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever described myself as yummy, but I don't know. Perhaps, you know, that works.
One of my
I don't
favorite
know.
Words, cause
yeah,
it
really? Okay.
Makes people
well,
think.
Yeah, right. Well, that could be taken a lot of different ways, but, you know, it's all positive,
go
right?
Tonight, Mike, you're going to look yourself in the mirror and you're going to go, I am yummy.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. Yeah. I'll get a t-shirt made up like that and just walk around. I am yummy. I'm sure that will get some attention. That could be a good thing. I don't know. Once again, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Barbara White is my special guest this month, and she is a gifted intuitive life coach, inspirational speaker, and author. Now, how do you help people as a life coach? What do you tell them in that respect?
You know, it's the same thing. So it's the same thing. It's when someone comes to me, I'm just going to do what I normally do. It's not really a different modality that I offer. Whether you call it self-acceptance sessions, transpersonal therapy, or life coaching, I think I started using the word life coaching for people because it didn't scare them as much.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when people hear transpersonal psychology or they hear intuitive, they start thinking that it's woo-woo not, you know, they get a different impression of it. And not that I was putting that word in there to get approval or anything like that, just I'm always seeking, and I'm sure you can relate to this because you do a lot of marketing for holistic healers and do a lot of good work, Mike, for that, that it's remaining true to the message and at the same time making it relatable to people. So I'm always seeking to find that, being true to what is my message, true to what I want to help people and, you know, do all the things that I've talked about. But if I got to call myself Purple Monkey Clown, that's what I'm going to do because I don't care. Whatever's going to help people to shift.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there again.
And then that, of course, would make me very unrelatable calling myself that.
Yeah, right. Well, there could be somebody that could relate to that. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, there would be. Not as many as the word life coach. But,
right.
Yeah, so, you know, I have intentionally avoided calling myself words like psychic or calling myself words like psychologist. Both those words seem a little heavy for folks. If that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I see life coach, I think it's somebody that is, you know, perhaps guiding somebody through a different career or something along those lines. Do you do that as well?
I think a lot of people are in transition of making career changes. I do. I seem to attract a lot of folks that are not coming into the next expression of their gifts, but that doesn't fully say it. I seem to attract a lot of people that are wanting to make that transition into really living more fully into their purpose. And a lot of times that does mean leaving their job. And doing whatever that they've always wanted to do their entire life. And sometimes it doesn't, because when we bring our fuller self or we begin to, we know we're playing at a 6 and we can really play at a 10 at
mm-hmm.
our current job, and we stop blaming the boss or blaming the economy or whatever we're giving our power away to, that the job can change. That then I've seen that happen too. But to answer your question, yeah, that when someone's in that kind of transition, which is a big transition to make, a job change, and to know that they are, I like to say, we are employed, and we are employed by the presence. You know, we're not really that's our main job. And if we can make the presence or love our main job, then the money will just naturally flow.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to tell somebody about the relationship, would you perhaps guide somebody away from a personal relationship that's not serving them as well as doing something different?
Mm. Well, I don't think I have the authority to tell somebody that. That's something that's got to come from within. I do, you know, I do guide people and really ask them to be a student to their own divinity. But we all have the voice of God within, and that voice of God is not something some booming voice that's going to, you know, I think a lot of people are waiting for that booming voice that's going to be something like Morgan Freeman yelling at them or something.
Yeah.
Or they're waiting for their purpose to show up in FedEx, you know. It's like the way that impulse speaks to us of whether we're supposed to be with somebody or not is it speaks to us in our body sensations, and it speaks to us in that quiet moments, and it speaks to us when we first wake up in the morning. And really it's a practice, of course, of getting still and what I call cleaning the static off the line, which is self-love, self-acceptance. Because a lot of times when somebody is saying, I don't want to be with this person's driving me crazy. Well, again, it's not them driving you crazy. It's your own crazy coming up. And that's why we got to combine radical self, why we gotta, when you take 100% responsibility for your happiness, you got to combine that with incredible self-love and self-acceptance, because it's like saying, okay, it's not about them. It's not about the person, my neighbor. It's not about the government. It's about really what, and knowing that's taking your power back, and that has, you know, it's everything Mahatma Gandhi talked about. It's everything Martin Luther King. Again, I'm not saying anything different. Yes, it's, I would never tell somebody to be or not be with somebody. It's that's something that they can, that will, in fact, a lot of times, Mike, by really bringing your fuller self forward and really coming into that deeper self-love, the details or the conditions really end up shifting without you, like, trying to figure things out mentally, trying to analyze, that's not the way to change your life. Yeah, it just doesn't work. And when we begin to love ourselves and say, what wants to come forward in me? What wants to emerge in me? What, knowing that every problem is actually a different question to be asked. And when we can ask that different question, then we discover something more within us, and then it's a new way of being in our world. And when we can bring forth that new way of being, the thing that was the problem either changes or falls away.
Now, when somebody comes to you and you're working with them, do you find that usually they're very motivated to change or bring out the information or bring it forward that will help them change?
You know, I think I have the privilege, incredible privilege, of people seeking me out. You know, they again, kind of calling, circling back to what we originally talked about, of why do people come see me, is it's an impulse. You know, they see my name a few times. And this is just not for me. This is really, I believe, and I've seen in working with hundreds of healers now, and I mean, we're all healers. When we love ourselves, we become leaders and healers on the planet. That's why I also have a radio show that's around calling all leaders and healers. And I have a Wednesday night gathering every second and fourth Wednesday called Calling All Leaders and Healers, because it's, we're all leaders and healers. When we love ourselves, we become a beneficial presence to others. People are, they feel that impulse to come. And so I have the privilege of not, you know, seeing people. I really deep bow to those people that see individuals that are like court ordered or, they have to come to see them. But I think it's when somebody is seeking me out and they're coming in, they're very motivated because they've gone through a lot of effort. They've made the phone call, which is a big step into self-love and saying, I want to change. And then they're coming into the office here, the Healing Center in Plymouth. They're paying money. And so there's a lot of intentionality behind that of like, okay, I'm ready to make a difference. I'm ready to become this next greatest version of myself. So.
Well, that's very important. So, Barbara, how can people get a hold of you if they're interested in talking with you or seeing you?
Sure. They can go on my website, acceptedasiam.com, and they could also go to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and listen to some radio shows. They could, of course, read my articles on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, and then, of course, they can give me a call, 734-455-1438. 734-455-1438. And then you can also email me. You're welcome to do that. And my email and my address and all the information that you need is on acceptedasiam.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Barbara, thank you very much for being on the show this month. I do appreciate it. Once again, very interesting. And good luck with the book. I hope everything works out well.
Oh, thank you. It's really drawing a lot of attention, and I really think my intentionality to share vulnerably and yet powerfully has the universe has heard it, so I'm grateful. And so thank you so much for the work that you do, Mike, and helping healers to get their message out. I think it's really important, and I know you also host a holistic festival, so thank you for all that you do.
Right, yes, that's coming up. I'll have an announcement later in the show about that, but thank you for at least alluding to that. I do appreciate it. Once again, thank you very much for being on the show.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, I'm back. I just want to once again thank my special guest this month, Barbara White. She is a gifted intuitive life coach, inspirational speaker and author. Very interesting. She's all about love and, of course, self-love. Very, very important. It's not easy to do sometimes, in my opinion, to really accept yourself and love yourself. But she's out there trying to help people one person at a time. And, of course, she does it with groups and what have you, but again, a very important message. And I also want to thank my producer, Mark Sheeler, for helping me out on this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. And be sure to come back every third Tuesday of the month for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I also want to take time to remind everybody that WHFR and Metaphysically Speaking will be presenting our 8th annual Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair on Saturday, March 19th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Henry Ford College Student and Culinary Arts Center. If you would be interested in joining us as a vendor, reader, or body worker for this special holistic event, all you have to do is contact us by calling myself, Mike Holloway, at 313-483-2555 or Lynn at 313-605-4206. Once again, those telephone numbers, 313-483-2555 or 313-605-4206. You can also email us at this following address, holistic2010@peoplepc.com. Once again, holistic2010@peoplepc.com. And whether you're going to join us at the fair just to experience this great event, or you want to be part of the event, love to hear from you. Either way, that would be great. And hopefully, we'll see you there at the fair. With all that being said, I just want to say thank you for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
And you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. guys and dolls out there, you're at the malt shop with Daddy G again. And we're going back to the 50s and the 60s here on WHFR. So head on down to the malt shop, grab your favorite squeeze, and hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, because we're going to spin some platters and down here at the malt shop where the jukebox is playing and the kids are dancing. And here we are, back in the 50s.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on, join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4, if the band slows down, we'll yell for more. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the chimes ring 5, 6, and 7, we'll be right in seventh heaven. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 2, I'll be going strong and so will you. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
Save your dog or soul.